There's one thing that a lot of people would like to know, and it's something that Christians already know. Here's Skip Heitzik to explain.
If you could ask God a single question, what would you ask him? Most people said, I'd ask him, when's the end of the world? People want to know their future. And prophecy gives us an advantage over any non-Christian with their greatest prognostications and views of statesmen and politicians. We have the edge. We know the end of the story.
Make the connection.
Gary Larson, the creative force behind the Far Side comic strip, once drew a picture of the Lemming family on vacation. The comic showed the father Lemming saying, "If you kids ask me one more time when we are going to get there, so help me, I'm going to drive this car right off a cliff." You've probably felt that way at some point during a family vacation. But imagine how God must feel when even the angels would like to know, when is the end of the world going to get here? Well, Skip Heitzik says that there are some clues we can look for to answer that question, and we'll examine them today here on The Connection. But first, if you'd like to know more about how we can boldly face the threats of today's world, you should think about getting a copy of Skip's new book, Homeland Security.
Our nation is constantly on guard to preserve democracy and freedom. But we also need to pay attention to the safety and well-being of our souls. In his newest book, Homeland Security, Skip Heitzik examines the spiritual threats that all believers face, from the personal and family levels up through the global level. Find out what God's Word says about these threats and how we can best follow God's plan for victory. Order Homeland Security for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The price of security is constant vigilance, and that's just as true spiritually as it is nationally. What threats in today's unpredictable world are we facing, not only as a nation, but also as the church? Find out in Skip Heitzig's latest book, Homeland Security.
Yes, our homeland is under attack, but our homes are under attack. Your family is under attack. Churches in this country are under attack, and your souls are also under attack. It was Paul the Apostle who gave us the battle briefing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He writes, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world."
Order your copy for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or online at connectionradio.org.
So even the angels don't know when this world will end, but that doesn't mean it has to be a complete surprise. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, Skip Heitzik begins today's study with an illustration of why many people avoid studying prophecy.
A professor once asked his class this profound question: which do you think is more of a problem in America, ignorance or apathy? One of his students raised his hand and said, "I don't know and I don't care." I've discovered a lot of people feel that way about prophecy and the second coming of Christ. I don't know. I don't care. There are so many details. It's so hard to understand all that prophecy stuff. That's all in God's hands. I don't know, and I don't care. Well, there are things you don't know. There's things we all don't know. There's vast sections of the future that have a big question mark with them. Not even the angels know. But there are other things we do know, we should know, Because God has revealed them to us. God's in the business of revealing, disclosing, showing. And some of those prophetic sections of the scripture are highly detailed. There are certain chunks of the future that are mapped out very explicitly. Then there are others that are just glimpses of the future. And whenever there's just a glimpse, just a hint, we have to be content with that and be careful not to add to the Bible or subtract from it. Now today, we're going to look at one verse and one verse alone. And I guess I sort of apologize for that. You know, I do get sort of stuck. I read through the Bible and I see a whole section, and I originally thought we could go from verse 36 through verse 44 today because there's this whole paragraph. But then I come to verses like this and I think, no, let's pause and let's go really deep today. Because the verse could sound a bit like a contradiction to what we've already read. You see, Jesus has been answering the when question, a time question. The disciples said, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Jesus gives them some pretty hefty details as to when, what signs to look for, what they can expect. And we've read enough already in the Bible, and we'll see again today, that now Jesus sort of turns on that and says, well, no man knows the day or the hour. Look at that verse, would you, with me, verse 36. It's the single verse we probed this morning. But of that day and that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know, I've discovered that a lot of people have the question, when is the world going to end? The Gallup organization polled 1,550 Americans. And they said, if you could ask God a single question, what would you ask him? Most people said, I'd ask him, when's the end of the world? People want to know their future. And prophecy gives us an advantage over any non-Christian with their greatest prognostications and views of statesmen and politicians. We have the edge. We know the end of the story. About the best the world can come up with is a horoscope or fortune cookie. You know, I've actually seen people open up fortune cookies and take them very seriously. That's scary. Somebody once says, he who believes in fortune cookies is sure to have a crummy life. You don't have to have a crummy life. You can have a solid life. And that comes from relying confidently on what has been revealed. So this morning, it's very easy. We're going to look at what we do know, what we don't know, and what we should know. All in verse 36. Now, verse 36 tells us that we don't know when Jesus is returning. It poses a dilemma, as you're going to see in just a few moments. It says, of that day and that hour, no one knows. I say it poses a dilemma because there's certain things we already know. We already know, for instance, about the tribulation. We even know the length of the tribulation. How long is the tribulation going to be? 7 years. It's introduced in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, as the final week of Daniel. Remember, there were 70 weeks of years. We already went through that. That there's one final period, Daniel 9, 27, that final episode, the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation period. It's named a lot of things. It's that final 7-year prophetic calendar time when God deals again with the nation of Israel. Question, when will that start? Well, I believe it's going to start at the rapture of the church. It's my personal belief that the rapture of the church, the great catching away of saints, will close the church age. It will end what we call the day of grace or the age of grace. It will be the time when God stops, you might say, dealing openly with the Gentile world and focuses his attention once again on the Jewish nation. Paul referred to it in Romans 11:25 as the fullness of the Gentiles. This is what he said. Blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the full number or the fullness of the Gentiles are gathered in. Loosely translated, God knows when the last Gentile convert will be. He knows that number specifically, and at whatever day, whatever time that is, when that is gathered in, then God will once again deal with that blindness that in part has happened unto Israel. Now, it always sort of begs me to go a little further with that and say, if you're one of those last holdouts, if you've heard the gospel presentation, you've put it off every altar call, every church service, every month, and you're just holding on, please, for your sake and for our sake, throw in the towel. Because you might be that last one that forms the full number of the Gentiles. So receive Christ, let's get the show on the road, and we'll get going. So we know about the tribulation. We know it's going to last 7 years. Some of us believe, me personally, that the rapture of the church will be the thing that tips off that 7-year final period. We have in the book of Revelation an interesting sort of picture of that. I believe it's a very straightforward book. I have no problem with its rendering or its understanding if you take it at face value. Jesus tells John exactly how to write the book. In Revelation 1, verse 19, Jesus says, John, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will be after these things. Three parts. So John does exactly that. Chapter 1, he writes what he sees. He sees a vision of the glorified Christ. In chapter 2 and 3, he writes the things that are. There are 7 special messages to 7 churches that gives 7 conditions of the church on earth. Then he writes the things that will take place after these things, after this, the Greek word meta tauta. And chapters 4 all the way through Revelation 22 speak about what happens after the church and specifically the great tribulation period leading up to the second coming. By the way, John sees it from a different perspective. Listen to chapter 4. It says in verse 1, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like the rapture of the church. Because he says, after these things, after he has just written about the church, heaven opens. Voice says, hey, John, come here. And he hears a trumpet. Sounds like 1 Thessalonians 4. And instantly he's in heaven. And everything he writes about from that moment onward is a view of the earth from the perspective of heaven. In fact, the theme of Revelation 1 through 3 is the church. It's mentioned 19 times in Revelation 1 through 3. Beginning in Revelation chapter 4, the church isn't mentioned a single time until you get to Revelation 22, 16. During the entire tribulation period, it is absent. It is not even mentioned. So I think you have a figure here. You have, again, a consistent pattern where you have the tribulation the last 7 years, the rapture that kicks off that prophetic time of judgment. We know that. It's revealed in the Bible. We know something else. Number 2, we know about the abomination of desolation. We read about it in verse 15, didn't we? Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation. He said right after that will be the great tribulation. And Daniel 9:27 once again says right in the middle of that 7-year period, right in the middle, that's when the abomination will take place. So we know the tribulation lasts 7 years. We know that that 7-year period is split in half in 2 3-and-a-half-year sections. The abomination of desolation is that middle event. And we know that 3.5 years later, who's coming back? Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew 24. After this is the great tribulation, and you're going to see these signs. And after that, the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Now, we've been studying a lot about the second coming. And it's been very rewarding for me. The more I study about it, the more excited I get. You say, but boy, there's a lot of bad things happening in the world. Exactly why we're studying prophecy. Listen to what Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 1. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place. In other words, every time a prophecy is fulfilled and you see it, it's like it gets brighter for you. The world gets darker. The outlook looks very bleak, humanly speaking. But for the Christian who sees that God has talked about this in advance and we know it in advance, it's like a light comes on. It gets brighter and brighter. I just found out that the National Institute of Mental Health said the biggest mental health issue for Americans is anxiety. Typically, anxiety about the future. That same institute said that 13 million Americans spend the better part of their day feeling anxious. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to be one of them. You don't have to be one of them because your future is revealed. You know what's coming. And guess what? I read the last chapter. And you win. You do. Some of you got excited. So we know. We know about the tribulation. We know how long it'll last. We know about the abomination of desolation. It splits it right in half. We know something else. We know a little more detail than that. We know the final consummation. We are told in the scripture how many days after the abomination until the time Jesus Christ returns to destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist. We know that. We're told it's 3.5 years. 42 months. Time, times, and a half a time. And the Bible adds such detail to it, it even gives the number of days. 1,260 days. We read it all over the prophetic literature. Revelation, here's a sampling, 11, verse 3. And the two witnesses will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 12, 6, Israel is depicted. She fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Revelation 13, 5 is the reign of the Antichrist. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. It's funny, you read about the Antichrist a lot. You read about his mouth. He has a big mouth. He's a loud mouth. He's a proud mouth. He was given a great mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So we know that the abomination of desolation to the end is 42 months. We know that the reign of the Antichrist will last a period of 42 months, 1,260 days. By the way, it's prophetic years. The prophetic years, remember, is 360 days, not 365. Just in case you do the math and you come out a few days. You know from the Bible, therefore, if you were alive during the tribulation period, if you were here on earth when the abomination of desolation happened, I don't believe you will be. I don't plan to be. You could technically count from the day that you see on CNN, the Antichrist set up the abomination of desolation. You can get your calendar out and count 1,260 days and say, that's the day Jesus will be back and destroy his kingdom. And yet, Jesus said, you don't know the day or the hour. So it poses a little dilemma for us because we have exact dates. Now, let's even complicate it a little more, shall we? Let's have a little more fun. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 adds a couple of interesting pieces of information. Now, you know Daniel chapter 12, it's the final prophecy given by the angel Gabriel to Daniel about the future. Daniel's an old gentleman at this time. Verse 9, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And look at this. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Got an extra month thrown in there. What's that all about? Keep reading. "Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. We have an extra 45 days. So we got 75 days added. And Daniel's told that. "But for you, go your way until the end. You shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days." So what's going to happen after the 1260? Now you got 75 extra days. What's going to happen? Well, stuff. A lot of stuff. I don't exactly know what, but I've pieced a few prophecies together, and here's a suggestion. A few suggestions. Number one, during that time period, that's when Jesus, having returned to the earth, will judge the nations. Matthew 25, verse 31 and following kind of outlines that. Also, Zechariah. Possibility number two, perhaps during that maybe initial 30-day period or that whole 75-day period, there's going to be a governmental restructuring and infrastructure built for the kingdom age. We know Israel is going to be preeminent with the Messiah during the kingdom age, the millennium. We also know that the borders of Israel that God promised to Abraham in Genesis 15 has never, ever been realized. Isaiah 27, verse 12, predicts a time when they will occupy their full borders from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River. You know what that means? That one day, Iraq is going to be part of Israel. Now, they don't know that. They certainly wouldn't like that. But one day, they're going to take over that whole section. That'll all be the border of Israel. It could be that that restructuring and borderline setup will take place during that the time after his coming. Number three, since Armageddon will have just happened and all sorts of conflagration and military excesses, it could be a mop-up period. Take some time to do that. Number four is a possibility, a topographical restructuring. You know when Jesus comes back, he's going to be a landscaper, right? You knew that. You knew that the earth is going to go through some pretty dramatic changes.
You know, the future doesn't have to be uncertain. Not only can you find out what will happen from the Bible, but when you give your life to Christ, you'll have what everyone's searching for, security that lasts forever. And we'll continue with this study next time. But until then, you can always order a copy of this message by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. So call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org. You can also get a free bonus teaching if you contact us for the first time today. It's a teaching from Skip called Jesus, Friend of Children, and it's a free gift for anyone who calls or writes us for the first time. So get your free teaching by calling 1-800-922-1888 or when you write us here at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
What do angels want to know? Why would they ever be curious about anything, let alone what's going to happen to us? We'll examine the answers to those questions next time, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.